Forget the graph for a minute. Show me every table involved in a price and who writes each one.
Then I have to tell you the thing that makes the rest make sense, and I do not think anyone has said it plainly.
Say it.
There are two pricing systems, not one being improved, two running side by side, and only one of them is connected to anything.
Start with the connected one.
A vendor sends us prices, CoinGecko per coin, however often we ask. They land in a table in ChainDB called Gecko Quotes. When the product wants a price, the API reads that table.
So the price on the screen right now is CoinGecko's number.
CoinGecko's number stored by us. The input to that read is a coin identifier, the thing that says Ethereum or US-coin. You ask for a coin, you get its price.
And that works today.
That works today for everything the product shows.
Then what is the second system for?
Because that number is somebody else's, we do not see how it was made, we cannot audit it, and it arrives at whatever cadence the vendor gives us.
So we started making our own.
14 exchange connections and a chain decoder, all writing what they see once per venue per second into a table called raw prices. That is the first table of the second system.
How raw is raw?
Completely, one row per venue per second. Binance's view of SOL against USDC at that second is one row. A pool's view of the same second is another row.
And then something averages them.
A job called pricing aggregate. It reads raw prices and writes one number per market per second into a table called prices.
Which is our own price?
Our own price from our own observations, weighted by venue.
So who reads prices?
Nobody.
Nobody at all.
The API does not import that database. Nothing outside the four pricing binaries touches it. The whole second system writes and nothing consumes it.
Then it is not live, it is rehearsing.
That is a good way to put it. It is being built ahead of its consumers deliberately so that the day something switches over there is history in it rather than an empty table.
All right, now where does the graph come in?
The second system has one flaw that the vendor's numbers never had. Its markets do not line up.
Because the exchange calls it SOL underscore USDC.
And the pool calls it two-min addresses. Both rows land in raw prices. The aggregate treats them as two different markets and produces two different prices for the same thing.
And nothing in the data says they are the same.
Nothing did, that is the whole job we have been building. Once a day it works out which exchange market and which pool are the same market and writes that down in a third table called pricing graph. Parent name, child name, and which way round the pool holds it.
Three tables then. Raw prices, prices, pricing graph.
Three tables in the new system, plus a small work queue the aggregate uses, and two tables in the old one that the daily job reads as inputs.
Which inputs?
The ticker mapping table, which says the string USDC on this venue means this coin, and the vendor's coin list, which says that coin has this address on this chain. Both live in ChainDB, both are read only as far as the graph is concerned.
So the daily job reads two ChainDB tables and one PrisingDB table, and writes one PrisingDB table.
Exactly that, it reads the market list from raw prices, the two mapping tables from ChainDB, the pool tables from each chain's database, and it writes pricing graph.
And nothing reads pricing graph either.
Nothing reads pricing graph either. Same situation as prices, one level further along.
Then paint me the day it is connected. What actually happens on a read?
Something asks for the price of a token. The aggregate has already produced a number for every market it knows, so the question becomes which markets are this token, and that is the graph's answer. It says these three pool markets and this exchange market are one thing, so average them together, inverting the ones marked inverted.
So the graph is not read at read time.
It does not have to be. The cleanest version is the aggregate reading it while it aggregates, so by the time anyone asks, the merged number already exists in prices. The read stays exactly what it is today, ask for a thing, get a number.
Good, now the part I keep getting confused by. If we start asking exchanges for contract addresses, which of these tables goes away?
None of them.
None.
Pricing graph is the output, so it stays whatever we do. Raw prices and prices are untouched. That is the price path, and this never was. The exchange idea only changes how the middle step of the daily job answers one question.
The question being which coin a ticker means.
Today it asks the mapping table, which holds a guess somebody is supposed to confirm. Under the change, it asks several independent sources and takes the answer they agree on. Same job, same output table, same schedule.
And the mapping table itself
stays because other things read it, the market data jobs have used it for years. The graph would simply stop depending on it.
So no new table and nothing removed.
One step inside one job and the tables are exactly where they were. That is why I wanted to draw all of it first. Every argument we have had this week was about that one step, and it is very easy to lose which part of the picture it sits in.